Well, Jack O'Neill, welcome to Newsworks tonight. Tell us about yourself, where you grew up, how you got here.
Thank you for having me. I grew up here in Philadelphia, grew up in Chestnut Hill.
Okay.
Went to Masterman for middle school, and then went to Chestnut Hill Academy for high school.
Where'd you go to law school?
I went to Rutgers University for undergraduate, and I went to Florida State University for law school. After law school, I graduated, went to work immediately at the district attorney's office, became an assistant district attorney working in domestic violence cases, was promoted up to the special victims unit, so handling cases of sexual assault, and then ultimately was promoted to the homicide unit. And while in the homicide unit, I was detailed to the special investigations unit.
That's some pretty serious prosecuting. Tell us about some of your experiences in the DA's office and why it got you thinking about this.
Absolutely. My experience in the district attorney's office was incredible. I had dreamed of working in law enforcement in Philadelphia for pretty much my whole life. Just have some sort of natural, born-in passion for trying to work for the people of the city, keep them safe, do what I can to serve them. While I was there, I had an incredible career. I spent enough time in the domestic violence unit to meet some of the most inspiring, brave, incredible people that I've ever met. Went on to be promoted. Normally back then you had to go to three different steps to get to the special victims unit. You had to go to waivers and majors. I was promoted and skipped over both of those. I think I'm the only person that did that, directly to what was called the family violence and sexual assault unit, which is special victims unit cases. There I had the good fortune to work with another unbelievable set of people, the special victims unit detectives, the survivors of sexual abuse, people who certainly left an indelible mark on me and left me wanting to do even more.
You want to pick one case and tell us about it?
The case probably in my entire career that I'm most proud of was a case of Commonwealth versus Charles Finch. Charles Finch sexually assaulted a young woman who was both mentally and physically disabled. She had severe cerebral palsy that prevented her from being able to speak. So bad was her cerebral palsy that her motor skills were also seriously impinged. So as a result, she wasn't able to use the normal touchscreen system that some people with CP are able to use to talk. What we were able to do was work with people from a whole host of different groups in Philadelphia, including people from Temple University's Institute for People with Disabilities, who came in and were able to interpret how she speaks, which to the layperson can't be understood, and then testify essentially as translators for her to the jury. It was a case with essentially no physical evidence. So it was this brave young woman's ability to speak through these essentially translators to the jury, and then this unbelievable support group of people who knew her, who also testified to the jury. The trial took approximately 5 weeks, and all of them were able to get to this wonderful jury that this young woman was telling the truth, and Mr. Finch was convicted, which made, I think, just an amazing statement to the city that we are willing to do what it takes to give a voice to people who are otherwise voiceless. That case was ultimately appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court because it's the first time anyone's ever done that in Pennsylvania.
The state Supreme Court, yeah.
Exactly. And the state Supreme Court sided with us.
That was certainly a very intense experience. You did a lot of cases that must have had been very intense experiences. What made you want to think about running the office rather than doing trial work?
What made me want to run the office is the same thing that made me want to be a prosecutor in the first place, and that was that desire to help people in Philadelphia. I looked at the field of people that were running, and I have tremendous respect for them, but the thing that distinguishes me from everyone else, and quite drastically, is the experience. I look quite young, and I was the last person to file for this election. So I'm not sure that it's a message I've been able to get out to this point, but I was a district attorney for a decade. That means I have more experience in terms of years as a prosecutor in the district attorney's office than anyone else who's running. I also was there most recently, which again separates me from everyone else. Mr. El-Shabazz was there for 7 months in the last 10 years, and no one else who was running was there for the last 10 years.
Joe Kahn was there for, well, he's the other real career prosecutor in this. A lot of that was at the federal level.
That's right. Right. He was at the federal level for the last 10 years. And those two things are very different. And as I said, I don't intend in any way to disparage anyone else, but it's really important that you know not just how the office works, but how the office works now. there were, over the last 10 years, so many changes made in technology, in law enforcement, and in the criminal justice system in Philadelphia. And in order to be an effective reformer, and in order to run that office well, these are things that a person has to know.
Okay, so give us a specific example of a change that you want to make and why you and your knowledge of the office makes a difference.
Diversionary programs are an enormous piece of what needs to be fixed in our criminal justice system. But there are a lot of effective diversionary programs in our city. What needs to be done is they need to be improved and expanded. So in other words, there's been a lot of talk.
Just interrupt quickly here for people who may not know. We're talking here about cases where low-level offenders, nonviolent offenders, drug offenders are moved into treatment or community service rather than prison.
That's right. One of the things that was alarming to judges, defense attorneys, DAs, everybody in the criminal justice system as we were watching this election form was that we kept hearing people talk about programs that already exist but saying that they should exist. For example, the first time a person is arrested for a drug other than marijuana, that person is put into what's called a diversionary program. The second time they're put into a diversionary program, there are felony diversionary programs. But in order to be an effective reformer, you have to know about these programs. You have to know how they work, how they're funded, why we've only been able to get to 10% of the people who are eligible for them.
Okay, so why are only 10% of the eligible people getting into those programs, and how do you change that?
So I'll give you a perfect example, which is The Choice Is Yours. It is purely a funding issue. It costs $5,000 per person. The results are phenomenal. That group has done amazing things. But $5,000 a person right now sounds like a lot of money. The thing is, the alternative would be that that person would go to jail, which would cost $43,000 per person per year. So what has to happen is the next district attorney needs to effectively raise money in order to get enough people involved in programs like that to then go to City Hall and Harrisburg and any other organization that's willing to chip in and to say, we are actually saving money if you look at this from the long view.
If the critical thing is getting more funding, one could argue what we need is not someone with courtroom experience who may know about the program, but somebody who has broader political experience, more contacts in the city, more ability to tap funding sources.
Except that what you're getting funding for is something very, very specific. And in order to go out and talk to people about it and raise money for it, you need to know exactly what you're talking about.
One thing some candidates have said is that the existing diversion programs leave people with the stigma of a criminal record, that there are other ways to do it. Keep them out of the court system, send them directly to treatment. Are they right?
No, and this is another fantastic example. There are a lot of those diversionary programs that I discussed do not leave people with records.
This isn't just an attorney's job you're looking at here. It's a big management job, you know, $40, $50 million budget. Do you have any executive experience to recommend you?
Absolutely. And one of the things that people, I hope, understand about being an assistant district attorney, especially being a lead prosecutor, is that the whole job, until you get into the courtroom, is management. In other words, when I was in the Special Victims Unit and I was one of the lead prosecutors there, I had to prosecute approximately somewhere between 6 and sometimes up to all the way 15 cases of sexual assault a week, which means that I was coordinating with social groups, with community groups, with special victims detectives, with police officers, with support groups, probation, sheriffs, doctors, DNA experts, everything for each one of those cases. And they all had to come together at the exact right point so that everything was ready at the minute that I needed it ready. And that often meant that in multiple courtrooms and multiple places in the city, I had to be coordinating hundreds of people every single day.
Seth Williams came into office 8 years ago as a reformer. He wanted to change the charging function so that it was done more smartly. He wanted to assign DAs to geographical neighborhoods so that would be get to know people, manage cases more consistently. How do you rate him as a DA? The whole picture.
I guess in the end, you have to give him an F. This has been a very tough year for people like me. You have to remember, when I started as a DA, Lynn Abraham was still a DA. And she was really wonderful, and I think very highly of her. But we were all very inspired by Seth as a young, very intelligent reformer coming in. But the final, most important job as a district attorney is to give the city confidence and hope and a sense, based on facts, that their top law enforcement person is absolutely guided by a moral North Star and that they will follow right and wrong no matter what.
You came into the race quite late. Little visible evidence of a political organization. Correct me if I'm wrong. Why so late, and can you manage a serious effort for this office?
I already have a very serious effort. It's true I came in late, but I would say that it's a credit to me that I've already been able to put together a staff. We've already been able to get our message out effectively. We've talked to a number of the most important sort of representatives throughout the city, and I mean council people, ward leaders, labor leaders. We are obviously way behind in terms of raising money, but raising money quickly. I got in late because when this campaign started, there was Seth Williams, and as I said, the very effective things that he had done, and no one was talking about those, and no one was talking about reforming. And there were the people who were running against him who just wanted to attack him for his personal problems. And that looked like that's what this campaign was going to be about. It was going to be a whole bunch of saying that Seth Williams is a bad person. That was the platform. And I wasn't interested in doing that because, frankly, I think that the reforms and the programs are way more important than what he did personally. That all has to do with him and the U.S. Attorney's Office. It has nothing to do with what the DA's office can do for the people of Philadelphia.
How do you make this work? I mean, typically you need some endorsements, you need money, you need the backing of political, like ward leaders, unions. Are you making progress on that?
Yes. As you know, in this race so far, almost everybody has stayed uncommitted. We've had a couple of endorsements here and there, but not very much. Not very much from the ward leaders, not very much from the labor leaders. We're all seven of us, vying for support still. So this is still a very much an open race. I don't think that there's any front runner right now. I don't think there's anyone who has a endorsement or a any backing that makes them the running away victor of this. We're all equal candidates right now. Some have a little bit more money than me, but I have more experience than everyone else. So in that way, I think this works out. I think I have a stronger chance than anybody of winning this race.
Jack O'Neill, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.